ANOM Update News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur, and it's 12:02. A Coast Guard petty officer has died after being injured during a rescue in the Eastern Aleutians in November. The Coast Guard says Petty Officer 3rd Class Travis Obendorf died Wednesday in a hospital in Seattle. Obendorf was a crew member aboard the Coast Guard cutter Washi. The Washi sent its small boat to rescue the crew of a stranded fishing vessel, the Alaska Mist, on November 11th. The 160-foot Mist had lost power and was adrift off Amak Island, which is north of Cold Bay. The Coast Guard reports that Obendorf was aboard the cutter's small boat. He suffered head trauma during the course of the rescue. He was flown to Anchorage and later Seattle for medical treatment. He passed away at Swedish Hospital during surgery. Governor Sean Parnell's administration hopes to get out from under a 2007 law to further advance a major natural gas pipeline project. That law, known as the Alaska Gas Line Inducement Act, was aimed at encouraging construction of a pipeline to move North Slope gas to market. TransCanada Corporation won an exclusive license to pursue it with state support. Since then, the project has changed significantly. It's no longer focused on North American markets, and instead looking at exporting Alaska gas to Asia. All three North Slope's major oil companies support the overseas effort. Parnell proposes closing the state's AGIA office, and Natural Resources Commissioner Joe Balash says the hope is that the parties will have more freedom to reach fiscal terms on a project without the constraint of AGIA. Savoonga has received an additional whale strike from the Alaska Whaling Commission. The allotment permits the community to harpoon one more whale this season. The community harvested two bowheads already this month, but with its current economic disaster and lack of walrus meat, Savoonga hopes another whale will bolster food stores this winter. Whaling as a means towards greater food security derives from the community's economic constraints. For many families in Savoonga, whaling is the only affordable subsistence activity at the moment. Perry Pingawi, alternate commissioner for Savoonga's Whaling Captains Association, says, unlike other forms of hunting, whaling is a collective undertaking.
It takes a community to do a whale hunt. You know, everybody has to work as one together.
Over a dozen boats participated in each of the previous bowhead hunts. As a whaling association, crews pool resources and together purchase fuel and other necessities like harpoons and rope. In other forms of hunting, individuals are left to their own devices and wallets. If you can't afford equipment, you can't hunt. And with gas costing over $6 a gallon and bullets beginning at $30 a box, subsistence expenses add up. And for many in Savoonga, that cost is more than they can currently afford. Few jobs exist on the island. Most of the community's income comes from walrus ivory, and this spring, the island gathered only one-third of its average annual walrus intake, and with that, only one-third of its cash opportunity. Pingawi says 80 to 90% of Savoonga's population depends on walrus ivory for their income.
Most of the people that do carve ivory, that's their main source of income right there. And with the few jobs available, you know, in town, there's a few people that work, you know, year-round or seasonally when school starts or whatever. But that's the main source of for the majority of the people that have that income.
And for many, that income is either non-existent or in sparse supply. With limited employment and diminished funds, whaling, for many in Savoonga, is the most economically viable solution to stocking freezers for the months ahead. Because though hunting may be expensive, it's less costly than purchasing groceries at the Savoonga native store. Flashman Newick, Savoonga City Clerk, says households already spend $300 to $600 weekly on food. So subsistence not only supplies necessary nutrition, but economic relief. And in the case of whales, both that food and that expense is shared throughout the community. Savoonga has until March 1st to use its auxiliary strike. This is the second supplemental strike the community has requested in the past 5 years. Governor Sean Parnell included $8.5 million in his budget for the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, or AIDA, to continue their work on the Ambler Road project. Starting at the Dalton Highway, the road would stop at Nova Copper's Arctic deposit, 18 miles away from the community of Kobuk. KNOM's Lorelei Kanin is in Kobuk and has this report.
While Ada says the road would be an industrial access road and closed to the public, some residents in Shungnak, Kobuk, and Ambler would like the ability to haul fuel, food, and large good items to their communities. Some residents welcome the opportunity for a lower cost of living. Everything needs to be flown in, with fuel at more than $10 a gallon and shipping often costing more than the furniture and appliances purchased in Anchorage. The option of a road to some sounds like a benefit too good to pass up, despite the risks. But some residents, of course, are wary of the project.
Because we live off the land.
Rosa Horner is a council member for the Native Village of Kobuk IRA.
Just with Noble Copper being back here, there's a lot of changes we see already in our hunting.
Nova Copper, over the past few summers, has been exploring the bornite deposit northwest of Kobuk. A road connects Kobuk to the bornite site, and Horner and her son, who is also a Native Village of Kobuk council member, they say the increased vehicle and helicopter activity has already affected the caribou migration.
Last couple of years, my husband had to go below Shungnak to get caribou by boat. Usually they get it at the airport here at Doll Creek.
Doll Creek is just 3 miles away. Shungnak is about 10 miles away by boat, so the added travel and purchase of fuel adds up for the families, a majority of whom depend upon caribou. Horner stresses that she looks at her community in the long term. While Nova Copper could begin production at the Arctic deposit in as early as 6 years, she says the resources of caribou, berries, and sheafish will long outlive the life of the mine, which Nova Copper says is 12 years minimum.
The kindergarten, they just walk through. Those are the ones we're thinking about, our grandkids. And they'll have kids too. I want them to grow up in our community the way I did, you know, without roads to here, not knowing who's going to come in the middle of the night, where they could hunt and pick berries like we've done.
But Horner realizes some people in her community support the building of the road and the mine, and because Kobuk is a small community of roughly 150 people, everyone knows everyone, and they're able to remain civil and talk openly despite disagreements. Ada has not yet visited the Upper Kobuk communities. Horner and the IRA Council in Kobuk say more needs to be communicated with the residents regarding the road. Ada had planned to hold community outreach meetings in Kobuk and Shungnak this week, but canceled those meetings. Karsten Rodvik, Ada's external affairs officer, says the $8.5 million included in the governor's proposed budget would fund more outreach meetings. Reporting in Kobuk, I'm Lorelei Kinneen.
And a look at the price of gold in New York at this hour. Gold is down $25.90 an ounce to $1,193.80 an ounce. Silver is down 53 cents an ounce to $19.31 an ounce. Zinc is at 90 cents a pound. It is unofficially 13 degrees outside the KNOM studios. 10 minutes after 12 o'clock.